And the showbiz world is reacting today to the surprise news that David Letterman is retiring next year as host of The Late Show on CBS. He's been there since 1993. He's been a fixture of late night TV since he started on NBC's Late Night in the early 80s. Well, last night he told his audience and band leader Paul Schaefer that he had just made the call to CBS CEO Les Moonves.
I phoned him just before the program and I said, Leslie, it's been great. You've been great. The network has been great. But I'm retiring.
This is really.
Yep.
This is true. This is. You actually did this?
Yes, I did.
Wow. Well, do I have a minute to call my accountant? Because.
Well, for more on David Letterman, we're joined by NPR TV critic Eric Deggans. Hi, Eric.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm doing well. So talk about, first of all, the reason that this might be happening. Of course, there's been a lot of change in late night recently with Jimmy Fallon going to The Tonight Show and Seth Meyers going to Late Night, which actually was David Letterman's old show. But is that the reason for this? Is it that he wasn't able to compete against somebody new opposite him on NBC?
No, I don't. I think David Letterman has always been able to choose his own destiny at CBS. When he moved there from NBC, he basically created their late night franchise. And after a while, they realized they couldn't really tell David Letterman what to do. They had to let him decide what he wanted to do. I think it's been obvious for anybody who watches the show that he's been less engaged in it in recent years. And he even talked about it during a long segment on his show on Thursday night. He talked about how, you know, he did something with his son during the day, and that's what he remembered at the end of the day, not the show that he had hosted or who the guests were. And so I think he's reached a point. He's done just about everything he could do. He said what he's needed to say, and he's not that interested in doing the show anymore, it seems. And so now might be a good time for him to hand the reins over to somebody else.
Well, and there are so many memorable moments over the years, and then a lot of recurring spots. I want to listen to some clips here. Let's listen to him doing something he's been doing for years on that show, and that is stupid human tricks. Here's a clip.
I've seen this before. Tell the folks what you're going to do.
Well, I'm going to stop this metal fan at high speed with my tongue.
There you go. Stop the metal fan at high speed with his tongue. Anton, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, cover yourselves with something. Watch your tie. You don't want to get your tie caught in there. You might get hurt. Here we go. Yeah!
Eric, one of the things that I heard about David Letterman, this was from somebody who had written for not just Letterman, but also for Bill Maher and Jon Stewart, was that Maher and Stewart need the news to be funny, but David Letterman can really find comedy in almost anything.
Yeah, that is the hallmark of a great comic and a great broadcaster. I always thought in his later years, David Letterman shone when he just sat down and he talked to the camera, talked to this huge audience that had been with him for so many years. When you see, when you saw his shows after 9/11, his first show was days after 9/11 happened. It was the Monday after the attacks. When you saw him talk about his problems with his health, you know, he had a multiple bypass surgery and talked very openly and honestly about that. When he talks about his son and his family, it's compelling. It's funny. It's engaging. And I think, again, another measure that he was ready to leave was that fewer and fewer of those moments were happening on the show. And maybe it reached a point where he realized it was time.
Well, you mentioned his monologue after 9/11. Let's listen to a little bit of that.
I'll tell you about a thing that happened last night. There's a town in Montana by the name of Choteau. It's about 100 miles south of the Canadian border. And I know a little something about this town, and it's 1,600 people. 1,600 people. And it's an ag business community, which means farming and ranching. And Montana's been in the middle of a drought for, I don't know, 3 years. And if you got no rain, you can't grow anything. And if you can't grow anything, you can't farm. And if you can't grow anything, you can't ranch because the cattle don't have anything to eat. And that's the way life is in this small town, 1,600 people. Last night at the high school auditorium in Choteau, Montana, they had a rally, home of the Bulldogs, by the way. They had a rally for New York City. And not just a rally for New York City, but a rally to raise money for New York City. And if that doesn't tell you everything you need to know about the spirit of the United States, then I can't help you. I'm sorry.
Eric, I remember that moment. It even gives me chills to hear it again. But the other thing that's interesting about that is that he talks about a town in Montana. This is a guy who was from the Midwest and connected with people outside of the Northeast.
That's right. He's a Hoosier just like me. I'm from Indiana, too.
I'm from Illinois, so same reason.
And, you know, he regularly goes back to Ball State University, where he went to school. And he has a place in Montana, and I'm assuming he probably lives near that town that he talked about. And so he has a connection to small-town America. I think one of the things about David Letterman is that he was never very patient with the trappings of Hollywood. He was never very patient with people who thought they were big shots. He on the show, one of the great things about his shows was that he would never tolerate celebrities or important people that he didn't respect or that he didn't like, and it would come through in the interviews. And you know, when he changed his opinion of John McCain, they had a very contentious interview where he was open about how disappointed he was in John McCain. And so that's been one of his great strengths as a broadcaster, is that he throws off all of these pretensions and tries to be as honest as he can. And I think as a viewer, you really sense that.
You know, one of the things I've heard about him is, first of all, that he likes to keep his studio extremely cold. And number two, that he doesn't like to talk to his guests until they come on stage to see him in front of the cameras.
Right. Well, you know, the temperature thing, that's Dave. He probably doesn't like to sweat. The sweat looks bad on television. And so, you know, he wants to make sure it's cold and nobody sweats. I think with the guests, it's the idea that he wants sort of that honest emotional reaction. What Letterman's show has often been about is not the canned, pre-planned, spelled out in advance interactions that many other late night TV shows have. And of course, what happens sometimes is that it's very uncomfortable. You know, when he had Paris Hilton on his show, when he had Lindsay Lohan on his show, when he had Cher on his show, when he had Mr. T, when Mr. T made his first appearance on the David Letterman show, it was an open question of whether or not they were going to get in a fight. Because Mr. T did not seem particularly pleased with the way David Letterman was making fun of him. So Letterman likes those honest interactions. And I also think he's kind of a socially awkward guy and doesn't necessarily want to spend a lot of energy trying to be nice to somebody he doesn't know that well before the show starts. So, you know, his personality fuels his process, and it all has kind of created this unique form of late night television.
Who is going to replace David Letterman? Any idea?
Every name in the world has been floated. Craig Ferguson hosts the 12:30 show on CBS. Frankly, I'm a big fan, and I think he'd do well there. I'd almost like to see him get that job so that CBS could take some chances with the 12:30 slot and put somebody in there who's not white and not male.
That's right.
That would be really nice.
It would be nice to have a woman late night host. Right now, I can't think of one. But
Chelsea Handler is the only one right now.
On cable, though.
Yeah. Well, there's nobody on network, no non-white male on network. You know, I've written a post for NPR.org where I talked about Aisha Tyler, maybe, from The Talk. Mm. She's a great stand-up comic and podcaster. Key and Peele, you know, that would be one fantasy that I have. Even Chris Rock, who had an amazing show on HBO in the 90s, I think he'd be amazing as a talk show host if he ever wanted to try to do it. But none of those choices would be something that CBS would do at 11:30, because it's the heart of the late night franchise, and they really need somebody who can compete strongly against Jimmy Fallon and Jimmy Kimmel.
Eric Deggans is NPR's TV critic. Eric, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
And Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. This is Here and Now.